And it is good to see you this morning. First Kings chapter 12. They say the third time's a charm. I'm not sure if that's a biblical phrase or not. I don't think it is, but hopefully not three strikes and you're out. But if at first you don't succeed, try again. Here we are in the third try. No snow today, but we're grateful for that. And are the people around who did the meal, are they back yet? Are there any meal people? Deneen, who else? Meal people, can you raise your hand or stand or something? Some of you hiding behind masks, I can tell. Okay. So thank you, everybody, very, very much. And thank you to Logan and friends, including a brother. And we're grateful for you. And we got a bell choir coming up for Easter, and those rehearsals will start next week, open to children in our church, children in our community, children from Bible Adventures. So that'll happen after church, the rehearsal, starting next week. So invite the children in your life. And then, of course, Uruguay Fest coming up, and we're getting excited about that. Keep your eyes peeled. We're trying to get word out. Not as easy as it used to be. But you know, the Lord is still on the throne, and exciting to know the Lord and his people here, and even in the world where there's more cows than people. So, 1 Kings chapter 12 and following, and I'm going to let you follow along in that this morning. That's a long passage, so let's pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today grateful that you are the author of your story. Grateful that you began the story of redemption, of rescue for us long, long ago, and that you will restore things as the way that they were meant to be. Now, Lord, we're grateful to be part of the story of your people this morning. We're grateful for this book that you've given to us and your Spirit who comes alongside us as a guide. So, Lord, we open ourselves up to you and to your Spirit and to your Word. Would you speak to us this morning, Lord? Clearly, we're listening as Samuel did. In Jesus' name, amen. So about 100 years ago, there was a guy by the name of Franz Reichelt who was an Austrian. And he thought he had a great idea. He was going to jump from the Eiffel Tower in a new contraption that he made. Now, one of his friends, an acquaintance of his from Switzerland, had already sent a dummy over the edge with what we would call a parachute today. These were the early days of parachutes. And Franz decided he was going to do it, and he tried his contraption in a hayfield, in a haystack, and broke his leg. Threw a dummy over the edge, it didn't work. And this guy from Switzerland said, you better try a dummy first. He says, no, he says, I'm going to make it. It's going to work. He says, I'm convinced. And 6 seconds later, let's say there was no more Franz. Fools never learn. The sad thing about our story that we're part of is that we began with those that the Bible calls our parents who were fools and went their own way, of course. And we're part of that story. But the Lord said, well, I'm gonna redeem you. And he eventually taught us how to live. But the next generation said no. And so we wandered and wandered and wandered for 40 years until another generation came along, finally got into the promised land. But then, even then, God's people didn't want to listen. And so they needed that grace, which continued to be extended. And then later on, though, then they said they wanted a king. And the Lord said, well, I don't want you to have a king. They said, no, we want one. And he let them have a king, and that king wouldn't listen like Samuel did. And the sad thing is that that's what happened once again as the kingdom began to expand. You see, they refused the Lord's way, and we continue on in that tradition. Even Solomon himself refused at the end of his life to listen to the Lord. And because he refused to listen to the Lord, and he wandered off and went contrary to his own advice, ran off with women, many, many women. The kingdom, the Lord said, would split in two, and the story would be different than it was supposed to be. You see, when we refuse to listen to the Lord's voice, then we miss out on the Lord's best. We miss out on the being part of the best part of God's story. God's story continues, but we miss out. Often what we go for is what we might call fool's gold. We see that in 1 Kings chapter 12 with King Rehoboam of Israel. Now, fool's gold looks like the real thing. A lot of us saw it in physics classes. I was wishing Alan Arnold could be with us this morning and talk with us about the scientific part of it. But there's stories of fool's gold. So the guy who discovered the Northwest Passage went all the way across the northern edge of our nation and came back again to Europe. He came back with a boatload of fool's gold. Kind of a sad discovery, I'm sure, after he got home. There's stories of people digging out their backyards, people digging caves here in the Northeast and all over the place, and it's fool's gold. It's not the real thing. It looks good, but it's not the real deal. And that's what happened with Rehoboam. So Rehoboam came along. His dad, what had happened with his dad, King Solomon, was exactly what the Lord had said would happen. His dad had gotten involved in expanding the kingdom and building things, and so he started getting taxes and raising taxes and more and more and more. And by the time dad went home to be with the Lord, the people were tired of it. Well, Solomon was young. Rehoboam was young. And here he is ruling. And so he said, well, I'm going to go off and I'm going to see what kind of advice that I can get here. And so he followed what had been given the Lord's advice, which was to go after those with wisdom. And he went and he talked to his father's old advisors, the old guard. And he said, what do you think that I should do? And they said, well, you know, the people are tired. If you just take it easy and you serve the people, and then they will listen to you and they will eventually follow you, just like they did your dad. And he said, well, okay, but there's some younger guys over here who I'd like to hear from. And he went and he talked to some of the younger men. And the younger men said, oh, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. The people are just being rebellious. Tell them that your little finger is as thick as your father's waist. And lay it on thick. And tell them they'd better pay up or they will be in trouble. Well, he went the way of the fool. It looked good. It looked good to him and his friends. But he rejected the advice of those who had gone before him. He rejected really the way of the Lord in that time. And because of that, what the Lord had told Solomon would happen did happen, and the kingdom divided. If you look at a map of the kingdom, you'll see that there's this little section in there. If you look, it looks like a puzzle. And down at the bottom of it there, the pink part, oops, got to go the right way, is, you see the pink? Can't get this to go. Oh, that's why. That's Judah. Okay, and that over there is Benjamin, and that's why we usually call Israel Judah. This is Judah, and that's all that was left for him. The rest of it is the north. what we would often call Israel, because that was the majority of the country. And it's confusing at times. I think I finally got it down after all these years. The north is Israel, or the north, or Samaria, which was the name of the capital, which came to be. The south is Judah, or which is identified there because of Jerusalem. And that was all that was left to King Rehoboam because of his foolishness. He went his own way. He refused to go the Lord's way. He refused to listen to those who went before him. It was fool's gold. It was fool's gold to follow the bad advice of his peers. And often the sad thing is that we go after things that are bright and shiny, things that are fool's gold. I have a son who works in Los Angeles, works in marketing and production, and pretty proud of him. He had a podcast over the last few weeks, and we listened to him, and he's giving advice, a national podcast, giving advice having to do with marketing for today. And he said, you know, this has been a trend, but especially with COVID, he said people are really suspicious of things that really look good, but really aren't good. And so he said, he's talking to companies, to executives now. He said, if you have something that you say that you say you really care about, if you say you really care about the people in the community, he said, but you better really care about them, because people know that things can look glitzy today, things can look good, but if they're really not, then you are going to be found out. I think that we have the same problem in the church, don't we? We know how to make things look good. We've come through many decades of making things look good. I was trained in church marketing to a certain extent. We know how to make things look good. But if they're not really good, then people are going to see through it. We talk about being a church that loves the Lord. We talk about a church that is never alone. Do we really live the never alone life? We talk about a church that worships the Lord. Are we really worshiping Him in spirit and in truth? Are we truly loving God? Are we truly loving others? Or do we just say that we do? Are we really loving each other, even when it's difficult and even when in a time of COVID? We talk about changing the world. Is it just a slogan? Or is it something that's really real? It's only fool's gold if it's just on the outside. And it's the same thing for us as households. It's the same thing for us in whatever line of work that we're in. People can see through. People know whether we are who we say that we are. They know that we love the Lord, but they can see through if we're a fake. It's the same at school. It's the same in our community. It's the same for us as a nation, and we need to be very, very careful, because the kingdom of God is not the United States of America. But the kingdom of God, there are many of us who love the Lord who are here. And so are we really who we say we are? Or is it just an appearance of loving the Lord and advancing His kingdom instead of really indeed having something that's real inside? In Israel, Rehoboam went after fool's gold. It wasn't the real thing. And because of that, he and God's people suffered huge consequences because they went after shiny objects instead of the real thing. But the reason that we seek fool's gold is because we are often attracted to a fool's idols. So what happened was Israel then divided into the north, which was known as Israel, because that's where 10 out of 12 of the tribes were, the majority of the country, which was ruled by Jeroboam. And then Judah, which was the tribe and just a little tiny tribe of Benjamin that kind of eventually merged into Judah, which was known as Judah. And that was where the division was. And so old Jeroboam in the north decided, I don't want people going out to Jerusalem because they might get attracted there. If they go down there to worship, then they're get more attracted to Rehoboam and to his interest than to mine, and it's a danger to the kingdom. And so he built a couple of other places to worship up there. He built a city named Dan, and he built a place of worship there. You see, they were building like the natives did. They went to the high places. So he built a place in Dan of worship. He built a place over in Bethel, which means the house of God. And so he had these two worship places up there. They got one, we got two. And guess what he decided to put there? He said, let's get some golden calves. You remember that back in the history of Israel with good old Aaron and Moses. So he had a golden calf in Dan and one in Bethel. And he said, let's do like the locals do. And like you have heard and I have heard, maybe if we cry out the name of both gods, then maybe we'll get some attention. And plus, it's nice for our family whom we have intermarried with that really would rather worship Baal than the Lord God of Israel. And they were two-timing is what they were doing. And the Lord said, I don't like this. He said, I've had enough of this. And so it was because of that two-timing that Jeroboam was doing. He said that you guys are now going to go off into exile. All of Israel now will be exiled because of your sin. The result was a tragic detour. A tragic, tragic detour because the story continued, but they missed out. They missed out on what God had for them. And the story continued, but just in Judah and not in that larger part of the country. That happens to us today. The story continues, but we miss out on the greater part of God's story. Just this week, I got news of a man that I'd known several decades ago that had fallen into sin. This guy was a leading pastor in a region that I was in. A guy who was just a leader among leaders and churches in that whole area. I hadn't heard from him or about him for decades and decades, and I found out that, well, he'd had opportunity to turn around back then, that the problem had repeated itself and repeated itself, and now he is getting into his later years, and it's just a tragedy. I wept when I heard that news. You see, the Lord continued to work in those areas where he lived, but he didn't have the part in that story that he could have had and would have had if he had followed the Lord. And that's the way that it is for us when we step aside from the Lord, when we go the foolish ways, when we go after other idols instead of following the Lord. Our nation has often we get kind of big on things like the Super Bowl. If you talk about idolatry, talking to some friends about this, they said, "Yeah, it's the Super Bowl," or even American Idol. When I first heard that, I bristled at it. But isn't it a picture of some of the two-timing that we do with our God, the fool's idols that we are attracted to? If we're honest, aren't we attracted to fame, to fortune, to success, to technology, to power, to names? And if we're honest, don't we sometimes, even as God's people and even as churches, say, oh, if we just had this, the fame, the fortune, the power, the technology, the whatever, the plans, and God. You see, we two-time. We put other gods, we two-time the Lord, and we go to the idols, the golden idols of our culture, and we leave the Lord aside instead of putting the Lord first and centering everything around Him. The Bible says earlier than this, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, here's what you do if you get into trouble. You don't run after these other gods. He said, if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And the people he was talking to were not the natives. He was talking to the people of God. He's speaking to us. He wants us to turn aside from our idolatry and turn to Him and turn to Him alone. Because fools' idols lead to a fool's loss. So here's what happened in Israel. Sad, sad story of just continued turmoil and war. Mostly bad kings. The worst of them was King Ahab and his dastardly Queen Jezebel. We'll talk about them a little bit next week with Elijah. Now, there were a few good ones. There was one named King Asa. And King Asa came along. He got rid of all the idols. He got rid of a lot of the immorality. He even got rid of the Queen Mother. I'm sure that was an interesting conversation. She was gone. But then he bribed the enemy. The enemy in Israel was. Okay, I'm trying to keep these all straight. So in the north, Israel was allied with an enemy right next door. And the king of Judah broke that alliance and said, let me be your friend. And it was that enemy of the north then that came and took Israel out. That was what led to their defeat. The sad thing is that when we deny the Lord, then the jealous God gives us up. The Lord said, I don't want you to have any gods before me. And the book of Romans says that when we sin, that the Lord gives us up. And he says, enough of this. And we miss out on the story of the Lord. So, you see this lovely poster here? So the Lord says, I was going to give you all of it. But earlier on, he had come to King Jeroboam. Instead of having it all, here's what you get. That's what happened to Israel. That's what happens to us. That's what happens to God's people when we refuse to circle, when we refuse to center everything around Him. You see, earlier on, the Lord had created the world as a perfect place. Everything was whole. The Bible talks about it as shalom, which means wholeness. Everything was centered around Him. But what happens is when we refuse to follow him, we lose that shalom. And it's because of when we refuse to center life around him, that's when things rip apart. That's when we lose our place in the story. That's what has brought the suffering and the oppression and the pain in our world. That's what's brought about the social evils and the judgment that we face. Randy Frazee tells the story of the Hatfields and the McCoys and what happened with them about 120 years ago or so. So for 38 years, they fought. And 60 years, and then finally in 2003, they signed a truce with 60 family members, finally got things right with each other. They brought the governors of West Virginia and Kentucky together. They declared a day in June to be Reconciliation Day because they finally listened to wisdom. We'd much rather have things our way. When the Lord was here, he brought Peter and James and John up on a mountain, had representatives of the story on that mountain. You remember Elijah was there, and Moses was there, representing some of the key figures in this true story of the whole world. And Peter started yapping away just like he often did. And he said, "Lord, we got to build a memorial up here. Let's build some shelters up here. Everybody can come up here and remember this place." And the Lord said, "Peter, this is my son. Stop your yapping and listen to him." So how do we listen to the Lord? How do we listen to him? They asked Jesus, "What does it mean to follow you? How do you sum all of this up?" And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's what it looks like. It means centering everything around him. So what do we do if we messed up? Well, he loves us too. He loves us too. Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Won't you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Our Lord, we see in this part of the story, the depths of our sin. We see our waywardness. Lord, forgive us for our foolishness in going after other idols and going after other ways than yours. Lord, would you enable us to follow you? Lord, would you change our hearts? Give us those hearts of flesh instead of hearts of stone. Lord, may we center everything around you. Lord, may we love you with all of our heart and soul and mind. May we love others as we love ourselves. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now we have a song. Come on up, Sue, if you